Welcome back to Dad Meat, bitch. Tim, Ed McGonigal, John Kenzel, Danny Dubs.
The council has been assembled.
Yeah, baby.
You guys asked for it.
Buddy, look at those peepers, man.
Who, me?
Stop.
Shut up.
You want to show them off?
No, man.
Show the fucking crowd,
man. No, my fucking optometrist said I have to wear them. Oh.
John, you were just making. I told you to shut up and save it. You were just telling us about. Was it Pat Benatar?
Who? Oh yes.
Showing her pussy, man.
Oh, we were talking earlier before the show started about how a female, a lady, a girl, can mention her
a bitch.
Yeah. If she mentions her lady area, you perk right up. You listen to her, yeah. Mm. But we're talking about
like when you hear your leash getting jingled. You go, huh?
The can opener. The can opener.
Yeah, pussy is a lady can opener.
And yeah, women they talk about that area all day long. They're friends like, oh, heavy.
Oh yeah, that's all they ever talk about is that. Nothing else.
They shoot ping
pong. Pussy all day long. Yeah,
shoot, that's all they do.
I don't know how many times I walked into my mom and her friends talking about.
Pillow fights and vulvas.
Again?
Yes.
Mom, I can't even come in the room. You're constantly talking pussy.
It's time for my 4 o'clock scissoring.
Not embarrassing.
But, gosh, I just get so wet. And you can't stand that. You hate that.
No, as soon as a girl mentions that area about anything, you're like, yeah, but we had talked about,
it's like when you imagine eating like sour candy and you still get that feeling on the back of your tongue.
Just out of curiosity, John, when's the last time a woman actually did say that in front of you about her pussy? 1971.
No, Archie Bunker was still on. No, I went to an open mic night with a girl last week, and she said, if you ever pull over, she's going to hide her vape in her vagina.
There you go.
And she actually said that. And I was like,
I know
boing.
That, girl. That I can believe. That I can believe that. I know that. But
John, just so you know, if the cops show up, I'm going to shove this in my pussy.
And if you knew, you wouldn't be that excited.
With the other four vapes.
Quick. All right. It sounds like someone's shaking Legos in there.
Yeah, they got jaws hanging upside down.
What do you call the spray paint can, right? We mentioned Pat Benatar, and there's a real nice theater over in Jersey for like bands are on a down slide, like not pop, like Marshall Tucker and Yes perform over there. It's a real nice room. It looks like an old mansion. Mm-hmm. But I did a comedy show there one time, and there's all noise going on behind me, and we had mentioned that. I go, what's that going on? Back? Who's doing work, construction work at 9 o'clock at night? And here they had to put a washer and dryer in for Pat Benatar because one of her contract stipulations, she wanted to have.
She needs to be doing laundry at all times. People know this, but Taylor Swift, same thing. Billie Eilish, they need to be doing laundry or they can't perform. Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend used to be the Stevie Nicks girl, and Stevie Nicks would turn into her shawls and witch dresses, hats to wear.
And this is a perfect time to quote Chris Morgani, who said that John Kenzel used to date a Stevie Nicks impersonator. John's the only person who could be the least talented member of that couple.
We'll pay for that. But she would send all her shawls and shit to her mom's store in Arizona. She'd sell Stevie Nicks shawls and were only sweating on for 2 hours with.
Back, there back, was back. A market for Stevie Nicks shawls?
Fat Wiccan women across the country.
Well, John, would she keep up the act when it was just the two of you?
No, but sometimes when we had mood music, she would have like Stevie Nicks' greatest hits on for mood. The love.
Would it like activate her? Would she like start like really like did going
she have,
for it?
Did she have the Stevie Nicks used to have seances in her house in the Hollywood Hills? Did she ever have seances?
No, but she went to see the psychics a lot.
Well, okay.
And whenever these women walk out of a psychic thing, they always go, he knew things or she knew things about me. I didn't tell him. I don't know how he knew it.
Yeah, like, John, the Stevie Nicks lady, and the puppet are all holding hands. A pentagram of fire.
Where you at? It's cold. I don't know. Your wives ever go to, or your aunts or uncle, your mom goes to see a psychic? Like, there used to be a guy in Philly.
Yeah, I used to go.
Mary Jo has.
Mr. Larry.
And then when the women would get there, they would talk about pussy.
But, real quick. In the adult romance video sites, they use the word tribbing, T-R-I-B-B.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
That's scissoring, I think.
I think it's scissoring. All right.
That's the Latin term for scissoring, I believe.
But There's a guy who's being filled in, Mr. Larry, right?
He's in the chat.
And it, Mr. Larry.
But they would have psychic things. And he could go in there. He'd guess of like a woman's age. And he knew what to say to her and give any minor information. And he'd walk out going, I don't know how he knew it. I don't know how he knew it. But back to Pat Benatar.
God forbid we don't have Pat Benatar on.
So all psychics do is they get like three or four women in a group, and they go, someone recently had a birthday, and one of them goes, oh my God. That was your Patrick had the birthday, because mine, and then they'll give you everything, and then it ends with like, and then that was his social security number.
Yeah.
And it's like,
did one of you 300-pound, 55-year-old women recently have a health scare?
Oh my God!
I'm wearing camo wristbands.
Annette, I told you. Did you set this up?
Oh, and exactly.
He's good.
And they'll say, "You had a pet as a kid. Was it a dog or a cat?" And I had an iguana. Right? No, they know right away. And if you guess your age, and say the woman's like 55, they go, "When you came home, you would sing the theme from Grease. How'd you know that?"
What?
She was older. The theme from Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Right, they can guess. Oh, you work with your hands. Who doesn't? Right?
Did one of your husbands go out for cigarettes and never come back? How do we guess that?
Wow, I can't believe this was only $2,000. And I feel like he knew me my whole life.
He was a Northeast Philly guy named Mr. Larry, and he would just have parties at her house. Wife would invite him over. But who was the other one too? It's like when a guy has a stripper at his house for a bachelor party, and you see like two girls and a big black bouncer who'd stand in the door the whole time, so you don't get fresh with them.
She jerked my penis off. I never even mentioned that I like that.
The last time I went to one, this show can start dirty. Last time I went to a party at someone's house, it was two of them. Two girls came out. One girl came out as a Little Red Riding Hood. She took a strip tease and showed a little bit. Then the next one did something else. But the next time, the third or fourth time the girl came out, and she was actually really pretty. She could have made romance movies, but she started inserting one finger, two finger, three, and then she did her whole fist, right? And it was because she had like music playing, the black bands were just like looking around, like, but some drunk at the party goes, I bet you could put the whole couch in there. Well, she didn't like that, and she got him left.
This was a bachelor party at somebody's house?
Yeah. I remember, what'd you say that for? She could put a couch in her vagina. Yeah. But another time...
I mean, you can't compliment them anymore.
That's
like telling them to smile.
That's in the rider. If you mention couch and pussy in the same sentence, the girl leaves.
What do you think I am, some kind of slut?
I think Eddie might have been at this one. Our friend, the bus driver, had a bachelor party
I've heard about it. I wasn't there, and I heard about it.
For Eric Roth. And it was, a nice time. They brought a chair out of the room, and the girls did lap dance to him, like two or three of them. Then she goes, all right, who's next? And Mike points to his son, who's a little bit different, and he goes, get in there, boy.
Mentally or racially?
So the kid sat down, and the kid used to wear basketball shorts with no underwear.
Oh, no.
So he'd get the full effect.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl was grinding on him, and his eyes rolled back in his head like a great white shark. And it was creepy as all hell. It was just creepy. And then the next day, Mike goes,
we're going to need a bigger paper towel.
Your sin's all over your legs, right? But the next day, the x-ray the bus driver goes, yo, one of those fucking hogs took my watch.
Stole his watch. I remember hearing about that.
And here, she didn't. His ex-wife, when she dropped the son off, he wasn't there. She went and took her watch back. She gave him it during like the second anniversary.
Is that what happened? Right?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
When he planned it on those hogs.
Those hogs.
My friend, he's a Milkman Silverian actor I talk about once in a while. He had his bachelor party at Double Visions, which is now by Sweeney's in Philmont Avenue. Yeah,
yeah, that's where Tim got his glasses.
Right. And it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. They had a back room. It was a strip joint. It was like Double Visions across the street. And we're all in the back room, and that girl has my friend Al the Milkman on stage, and she covers him with whipped cream, and she's like licking off his chest and stuff, right? And he's getting really uncomfortable, and so finally she put it on his chest, and she had it on her breasts,
That's a milkman. That's like the fucking Indian crying over litter. Like, so he goes, wasting all this dairy.
Exactly.
He goes, this is funny.
So he stands up. He goes, guys, I can't do this. I love my wife. And it's just batch.
Oh, that's me.
Sweet.
But he tripped.
I've done that. I did that at a penthouse on Castor Ave one time.
Well, he tripped.
I would have HPV before the sun went.
Well, he tripped and did an elbow, Macho Man elbow smash into her chest. She fell on the ground. And she's going, he goes, I'm sorry, guys, I can't do it. And he ran out the side door, right?
So tombstone. I got him with that. Oh! What do you call
that? Oh, my God.
He's just eating a turnbuckle. I can't do this to my wife. He stands up on the stool. They throw him two fucking things of milk.
Like 6 p.m. Macho, Stone Cold, right? So he runs out of the place, and the bouncer come over to think, what the fuck just happened here? So, you know, the girl's like, because the lamb's flirting the grace. He slipped on the whipped cream.
So it's not the first time she was gagging, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. So they bring another girl out, and he left. So me, his brothers, and all our friends are standing around, what the hell just happened? Well, it's a nightclub. It's a bachelor go-go bar. We got so freaking wasted, but the next morning I came home. You know those professional lights they have in the ceilings? Like, even comedy clubs, there's a big hi-hat like light.
Yeah, yeah.
I came home, there was one in the backseat of my car. I don't know how I got it. And, that was, bachelor party was crazy.
Well, the reason I wanted to revisit the Pat Benatar thing is because I wanted to ask you guys if you heard about the Billie Eilish interview thing. Did you guys hear about that?
Somebody put her face in the vagina.
Pussy stuff, man.
Got me riled up. Yeah.
Well, let me remind you in case, so we're all on the same page. Billie Eilish tells Rolling Stone that she likes to masturbate in front of a mirror. Here's her quote. Partly because it's hot, but it also makes me have such a raw, deep connection to myself and my body and have a love for my body that I have not really ever had. I got to say, looking at yourself in the mirror and thinking, I look really good right now, is so helpful. I have learned that looking at myself and watching myself feel pleasure has been an extreme help in loving myself and accepting myself and feeling empowered and comfortable.
See, I'm the opposite. Yeah. I don't like to look at myself and I never like pleasure.
Yo, that's crazy. That's nuts. That's you. You said that to someone that was like typing, and they're going, okay, and you and. We're talking about masturbating, you said, right? This is crazy. Imagine if this was any man in the world giving this interview.
You'd be me too that day. The whole career would be over.
I was looking up Skechers, and next thing you know, I'm on this site called Celebrity Jihad.
I was trying to find a chapter.
But there's supposedly a new picture of Billie Eilish. But you can't tell if they're fake or not, but she got the really pretty blue eyes.
And she's got massively deceptive cans.
Yes.
It's so funny that she had a hard time loving her body, you know? Isn't that so tragic?
That site that John just mentioned, Jihad,
yes.
They take, you know, famous people's heads and put them on somebody else's body, and it's clearly obvious that it's not them.
Oh, and they tricked him.
I do like John it, though. It is nice. Just lie to me sometimes.
John likes to think it's them, but it's clearly not the person.
And I don't get it, too, because when you describe somebody, have, like, Billie Eilish, every single name, right? But it's called Celebrity Jihad. They'll have some anti-American...
that's fun.
Her and her big racist tits can go run amok, right?
There's two fatwas.
But she, I thought she said also in the video something about she could picture her face in a vagina. It's on TMZ.
I don't know.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, she probably goes. I mean, I'm not reading any more paragraphs of it, but I'm sure what she meant was she's staring at herself, slamming her clam, and imagining eating pussy. And it's like, cool, man. That's great. I'm glad that you put that out on the social media so that 700 million violently lonely men could just grind their teeth over it.
I'll watch her
beat off.
Remember like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, Rolling Stone interviewed Kristen Stewart. And she made some other kind of thing again. I'm going to be pissing so many people off and picturing me in my underwear. And it made news for about 30 seconds. Like, no one cares if there's shock value stuff anymore.
I instantly thought of French Stewart. I like to lay in front of the mirror.
Could have been worse. Could have been Jimmy Stewart. It would have been a lot worse.
Wow. I who was the other girl that did something? They keep using those little sex to sell things. And it just, it's like Madonna when she was 68 years old. She said some shit on stage.
I think she put a zucchini up her ass on stage. Is that the one for the Ray of Light tour? am I remembering that correctly?
She makes you sick, John?
Today she does, but the red light, I like that version of her with the blue, like, you know, it's like just got, that's a good song, but
yeah, when she was under 56 years old.
Yeah.
She,
in one of her biographies, she used to mention that she had like 11 abortions and like seven.
Oh, that's good.
But seven were Dennis Rodman's.
She.
Whoa.
She's, it's in one of, look at it's
all
once.
I wonder if that was all at once.
If you get, 12 abortions, you can turn them in for frequent flyer miles.
Yeah. Get a free cup of coffee. Yeah.
Damn, that's so cool.
Yeah, you get a shorty hoagie at Wawa for 12 abortions.
Damn, that's nuts. Imagine being a diva and you just got an abortion guy following you on tour.
With your, yeah, that rider. For
yeah, that's when you got an abortion doctor on retainer. Yeah,
your green room, like green M&Ms and a.
Yeah, what they need. You ever replace the batteries in a toy and there's like a little ribbon that goes under it so you can pop the double A's in out? They need that for famous lady pussy.
Yeah.
Do you think they feel compelled to throw the Rodman fetuses outside of the trash can because he's the king of rebounding?
Earlier when we mentioned about the, when a sooner girl mentions her lady area, program, but also I don't want to hear gross things either. They interviewed the girl, Christina Applegate from, you know,
Married with Children, yeah, Anchorman, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's
Dead. Well, she has MS right now, but she said she had a salad with fecal matter in it, and she had to wear a diaper because she goes, I was pissing out my ass. Like, and this is on TMZ, like yesterday, you'll find it, right? I'm like, I don't want to hear this. You know, when you see a girl, you like.
I'm hearing you, and I'm sympathetic. But I bet you I've probably used that phrase verbatim, I would say, no less than 1,500 times in my life.
Oh,
and that's low.
You know what's funny? The very first night Helium was open, right? Your first open mic night. Me and Eddie were there, but the first couple comics that went up, the owner of Helium was there, Rich Miller, Dennis Miller's brother was there. Like, the people went, hey, we're going to see how their first show is going to go. Well, the first comic was a comic we know named Ronnie L. His opening, the first sentence said of his mouth at the first mic on stage was, man, do you ever have diarrhea so bad like you pissed out your asshole? All right. And I'm there looking at the owner of the comedy at the comedy club, who's like a Wharton business.
I don't
want to
say that was a racist impression, but can I have three guesses for
Scotty? Yeah, he broke a bottle of Hennessy over the ship's bow.
He's Scottish. Obviously. Right? But I'm like, holy sh, and like I forget who that second, but the first people went up told like horrible, it's supposed to be funny. Their families were all there, right, ready for the big show, and they hear the guys want diarrhea. And
have your families come to see you perform?
Yeah, I did. Sometimes I reevaluate my life. If your parents die, you go, oh, my dad never saw me. They didn't. They enjoyed it. They had good times.
Now, my parents never came out, and I'm not glad. I didn't. They were disappointed enough without seeing me do comedy. It's the last thing they need to see.
The last time I did the Helium contest, I brought 16 people out for the first round. That's how you get the first round's audience judging, which I don't think is fair because, you know, some clown can bring 45 people out. But no, it's neat though. They never passed when they got to be in front of real judges. But I brought my 80-year-old dad out to the show, and there was four female comedians come up. And the first one was Cynthia, and she just was like, yeah, it's going on. I had a hoagie. Right? But the next girl came out, talked about stabbing her mother with a steak knife.
Right.
Then the next girl came out, talked about having her breast taken off at 23 to breast cancer.
Hell yeah.
Right? Then the third girl comes out, and she's great. I really like her. It's Shannon in the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
She's a great girl. She's very funny, right? But when she came out, Eric T, that we know, or Eric, right?
Oh.
He's in the back room and he yells out, boo! He did it as a joke. And his wife's slapping him.
One of his classier moments.
But my dad's there, and, you know, I'm not probably perpetuating a story, there's a lot of really funny female comedians. All the girls in Philly, I think, are great. But just that night, Tina, a girl told me about getting her breast taken off for cancer. It's like sad and serious. There was no jokes in it. And then a girl told me about stabbing her mom. And my 80-year-old dad goes, what the hell is this shit?
John, if there's anybody who I think shouldn't have been in a comedy club, it's John's dad. You would have said, no, John, don't do that. He would have thrown yourself in front of the car. Especially don't take your dad to a comedy club, John.
I don't know. His dad's the ultimate good sport.
My dad hated Milton Berle. He used to call him.
He seemed to hate everybody.
Personal thing, or?
There's used to call Jewish people Yids for Yiddish. And my dad called him a bucktooth yid. Is that even racist? I don't know.
Oh, no, there's nothing hateful about that at all.
Okay. It's okay, my dog's Jewish.
Yeah, John, his parakeet is from Jerusalem.
He converted. I'd send him to classes.
Jesus Christ.
But that helium contest, that was
nerve-wracking, man.
Yeah. I remember there's a couple people we know, they didn't pass that night, and they're almost crying in the green. I'm like,
oh, it's devastating, because you don't know that there's anything else out there other than that.
Yeah, you know, you think it's great. It's but then, you know, I think this year the prize is $3,000.
Oh, that's nice.
And
$3,000? Really? Yeah. Wow. Oh, good. Go for some person who wins. That's awesome.
Yeah, I sympathize, though, because it's like, you know, a lot of the people, I mean, you're signing up for an open mic contest, and it's like, the downside is humiliating yourself. The upside is like, maybe nothing, who cares, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
so your emotions are fried, you invite everybody you know, and you're in your head, you're going, the comedy club never lets me get on the open mic, but now I've got a time slot 6 weeks from now. I know all I have to do is, I have to crush for 5 minutes. And then, you know, a lot of them fucking bomb. Most of them bomb.
Because what you don't know is it's just a way for helium to get people in the summertime. It's just a way.
Yeah, this is the only way to move mozzarella sticks in the summer months.
you think it's something important. It's not. It's just a way for helium to fill the room in the summertime.
This is Philly's funniest, okay? Ever heard of it? $1,200 on the line and a customized surfboard to the winner.
Yeah. Oh, DiBella had one, too. You won some ugly trophy contest.
I finished second one time, and I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then it's over, and you go, oh, my God, I can't believe I was emotionally invested in this at all. What a fucking loser I am.
The guy I lost to is now dead. Do you think I can?
No.
Who's that?
Mike Brooks. Incredible.
Oh, really?
Guy.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Do you think maybe that makes me the winner
now?
Yeah, you'd
be like vice president, like Lyndon Johnson. Well, you take over.
the first of all contest, I came in second to, and the guy who won was Hagerman? Jason Hagerman, right?
Yeah.
Right. So this was funny. It's on. You can find it on YouTube. He might have it on his Facebook page. So he had all his friends from college with him. Hey, that's the rules. I tried. So he won a spot in Helium, and he got to appear on the local CBS News morning show with Bill Henley and some girl. Well, before him was the Philadelphia Phantoms. Is that the hockey?
Yeah.
Well, the minor league hockey team used to be here,
So all the kids are wearing black and purple. These are like little kids, like this tall. And they're all standing on Justin Hagerman. And they go, hey, we have the winner of the Helium contest, Justin Hagerman. Justin, can you tell us some, can you just a little bit of material for you? And, you know, there's kids running around him. And he goes, you know, people walk around and show you a sonogram of their upcoming baby. Oh, I'm going to be a father. I'm going to be a mother. Right there. He goes, I'm not married. But what I do is I walk around handfuls of my sperm. Yeah, look, I call it my kid Squiggles or something like that, right? And it cuts back to Bill Henley going, you think that's appropriate at 11 o'clock in the morning with little kids running around? He goes, I don't know. Right.
And he thought that was good for TV. Yeah, okay.
It was funny. And he makes fun of it. He talks about it. The next day on the show, it's Bill Henley and some black girl who she's from like from the foreign lands, like Kansas. And they're talking about Miss Heard.
Her name is actually Topeka, too.
They're talking about Miss Heard music lyrics, right? Like some people like, you know, Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza, even though I don't hear it in that. But she goes, I have one. And he goes, oh, what is it? This is the day after the kid with the sperm. She goes, what is it? She goes, that Whitney Houston song. I always thought she was saying, I'm shaving off my muff for you. Instead of shaving off, I'm saving all my love. I'm shaving off my muff for you. And he's like, huh. And people are like, I can't believe you said muff on morning TV. That's on YouTube somewhere, too. It's just ridiculous.
And she didn't know what muff was.
Yeah. She didn't.
She didn't. She said she didn't.
I'm not around here. I don't know what that means.
I have a kind of a fun contest bombing story. I was like 3 weeks into going to open mics.
Okay.
And Chris Cotton and H. Foley put on it started at the Raven Lounge. I don't remember what they called it. Maybe it was called Center City Comedy, something like that. Anyway, but it was an open mic comedy contest, and there was like multiple weeks of it, and I made it to the finals, and I was so excited, and I was like, I was planning on never telling my family I was even attempting this stuff. And suddenly, you know, fucking a month and a half into stand up I'm like, Dad, you gotta come to this contest. I think it's like applause based. There's gonna be an applause meter. You know what I mean? I need all the support I can get. And I didn't have any, like, I wasn't nervous about like my dad like finding out I'm like too filthy or whatever. I know he thinks I'm like the man, but it was like just such the worst setup ever. It was in like it was at Mad River. which is like a big big sports bar in Manayunk, which is like, it's not a college town. It's like the town that everyone moves to the year after college and wants to keep partying. And it's in a sports bar on the river there.
Yep.
That's the setting. And Toure was hosting it. And pretty quickly, he was kind of not feeling how like new and shitty and amateur everybody was. And like he hosted and did like a ton of time up front and crushed. Mm-hmm. And then no one else was as funny as him. Mm-hmm. And you know who ended up winning this was Del Callo, by the way.
Oh, no way.
He won that and then moved to LA.
Dude, I think that set is on YouTube.
Probably. And so I'm following a friend of mine, Brandon Ketchup Wilson. And he was like a cool clothes black guy, you know, charisma type, you know, I'll say that. And he had brought like 40 people with him, like every cousin in his phone. And so he's doing
all the condiments.
Yeah, he's doing all his like, y'all ever notice, you know, dance moves, shit, or I don't, whatever he did. And he's destroying all of his friends and family. And everyone else is kind of just like, okay. And so he closes his set and does like, he takes it in, like he, like just one homecoming, like, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I'm supposed to go up next, and I'm just like, all right, well, it's not like we're, you know, it's not like people are going to compare us, you know, I'm completely different than that. I'm not really like worried. But then Toure, like, kind of makes fun of him a little bit, and then it's still very loud from all his people just like high-fiving each other and like,
oh, yeah, man,
and like carrying him around on their shoulders and stuff like that and popping bottles and shit. And and then I get introduced and I go up and all it's, I'm not kidding, 75% of the crowd, it's all his people, they're all slowly making their way out of the room.
Oh, no. Wow.
And I'm watching it happen, and it's so loud you could barely hear me. And I just start like doing my shitty 3 weeks into comedy jokes, trying to be louder than them. And it was honestly, if my teeth fell out, it would have made so much, it would have been perfect. My pants should have fallen down, my teeth should have fallen out, and I should have come to myself and woke up. And they just slowly shuffle out, and I have the most nothing worse set ever, and which is, you should be having at that point, but it was like, hey dad, come check this out.
Ugh.
And I the whole time I'm just watching him and my stepmom in the back corner, and they know what's happening, and they're just like, oh man, they're so bummed for me.
Oh, no.
And I'm so fucking bummed, and I'm like red-faced and hot and like kind of angry about not knowing how to handle the situation. And and it passes, and then Toure obviously makes fun of me too, and then that gets a big laugh. And then the Del Callo wins. And
well, how did he win if the other kid had this big standing ovation? How did,
I don't think they stuck around long enough to vote.
Del Callo also has a large black family.
That's true.
Yeah, Del Callo also, and then I think, I don't know if Del Callo had already gone up or if he went up later, but he got to go up it, like without all of that surrounding it, and did a really good job.
Wow.
Yeah.
I used to think there'd be a riot if the kid didn't win.
I don't know why.
Mike, the bus driver, did a benefit a couple years ago before Michael Brooks went to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our friend Mike talks like a Philadelphia cop, but he's a bus driver. He's like, yo, what's going on, you guys? Yo? All right. And, well, in the middle of Mike's act, I don't know why he did it at this benefit. It's for, like, handicapped children.
I think you're telling him wrong. What happened was Michael Brooks was up there talking about, he hates when he's in a car and the cops put the flashlight on him. Cops always put the flashlight. So I think he's done his set, he gets off, and then Mike, the bus driver, is up next. And he gets up and he pulls a flashlight out of his pocket and shines it on Michael Brooks sitting down in the audience.
Because
Michael
Brooks is
talking about.
So that's a great bit.
But Michael Brooks was mad about it.
After he goes, that was uncalled for. Well, the benefit was for mentally and physically handicapped people.
I guess, yeah.
Well,
by and for.
Well, the female headliner from Philly goes up, and she's real. I think she's very funny, but she's really in your face. She yells out, "Yeah, what's this for? Retards!" And so the back member goes, "Do not say that. This is a serious benefit." And she points, there's two guys at a table in front of her. She goes, "Is one of you guys retarded?" The guy goes, no, my sister is. That's why I'm here. Right? Right? And she goes, well, that's what this is for. It's a benefit for retards. Right? Well, the booker says, got in the booker and goes, please stop talking about this like this. She's sitting around for like another 5 minutes.
Ketchup's family's going nuts.
Yeah. Ketchup family just came in all of a sudden, came in out of the side.
They came back in.
How great would that be if Ketchup's family just traveled around all the comedy shows and would just come in on the back of the room every comedy honestly. Show?
Dude, Ketchup is the best. Ketchup somehow connected with my mom down the shore. One day, my mom calls me from Ocean City. She's like, hey, I'm here with a friend of yours. And she puts Brandon Ketchup Wilson on the phone. He's like, Brady, it's Ketchup. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I just started having a conversation with this lady. It turns out it's your mom.
Yeah, God bless Ketchup. I do love him.
That's too funny. He hooks up with your mom down the shore.
I didn't say hooks up, Ed. Ed met up.
Thank God he fucked your mother, man. That's so cool.
Little ketchup packets running around.
I don't want to, because we talked about it last time, but I did something on Saturday with the pickle delivery gentleman, right? Right. But his big closing bit this time was, I got pulled over by a fag cop. That's his words. Yeah. And he's like, oh, officer, is that your nightstick? Is that a thick shooter? And this crowd here thought he was a god. Mm-hmm. They thought he was and I'm sitting there going, you have your notes, like, throw them away. I should just eat bran and talk about shitting to make this crowd happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I made that decision a very long time ago.
That's in the comic
book. Dude, I hate to break it to you. That's what guys think about all day, man.
John, you mentioned earlier.
There's a guy listening to this right now experiencing diarrhea.
John, you mentioned we had a Facebook anniversary this week.
Oh, yeah. It was 10 years ago. Me, Mike, and Dan Friel went to L.A. for 4 days or something like that.
And John had to babysit me.
Oh, that was a really fun time. I didn't realize they were just pussies with the, like, we got to the Conan like 5 minutes late and they wouldn't let us in. Like, you dickheads. We dropped off on the wrong side of the studio, but seeing the celebrities there.
But what we got out of it was much more than I could have hoped for with Conan, because we had to walk. There were no Uber at the time.
No.
You could only take a taxi and it was super expensive. So we got dropped off in the wrong spot because Warner Brothers is just this huge lot. And we had to walk around like these fucking hills.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous because there's no clear walking path. So we're walking for like 20 minutes to get to the garage where you're supposed to meet to go into Conan.
Right.
And before we're able to get to the garage, we come across these two female hikers. And John says, me and Dan just wave to them. And John says, oh, I didn't know there's a Planned Parenthood around here.
A couple times I got tickets to go see Letterman up in New York, and it says beat her at exactly 3 o'clock. I'm like, I can't help it. The train hit a gazelle.
John, do you think maybe it's you? Were you always late? And maybe it's not the TV show. Maybe it's you.
No, I think that was my fault because I had asked a Coke dealer to come back to our room the night before. And John was babysitting me. John was just trying to like mitigate what was happening. And I didn't realize the guy had actually left drugs, and I woke up. And there was a bunch of Coke left in the middle of a $1 bill on the coffee table. So I ended up doing it all morning, and I kind of set us behind schedule-wise.
That probably would, yeah. Well, naturally, can't think. Nothing goes with cocaine like sitting in a studio audience watching Conan O'Brien. Sure. Most people do cocaine want
to
do that.
But we went to the Museum of Death. That was neat.
That was great.
Yeah.
I think they closed that down. Yeah. They might have reopened somewhere else, but there is one in New Orleans as well.
I said, next time you go out there for the death tours... There's people who have, the guy drives around in a hearse in L.A. He says,
Graveline Tours. That looks like a good one.
Is that where he takes all the famous celebrity death thing? Yeah. That would be kind of fun. Yeah, okay.
The
probably equal disbursement of, like, absolute creeps and very attractive women on those these days.
That's the one guy when they knocked down some Manson houses. He sells, like, parts of the fireplace and the brickworks and stuff.
Yeah, what is it? Scott, I can't remember his last name.
There's a site on Facebook called Death Hags.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit! They have this. People, take a picture where someone got hit by a bus, and they'll go, "Yeah, right here's where she died." It's kind of interesting too.
Mike, do you think there's any kind of power in visiting those places? You get charged up by that. I know you do that stuff.
I did, man. And when I went out to LA with my wife for the first time, I was having a blast because I was still drinking, and she was driving around, and we were trying to get to Sharon Tate's house up in the hills, and it was late at night. And I had to piss really bad, so I was in the back of the car trying to piss into a Gatorade bottle, and I was just pissing everywhere. and my wife finally found what we thought was the place. And we parked out front, and I took a very solemn picture by the gates. But it turns out it was Sharon Tate's neighbor's house.
What I heard you... How she was murdered and you couldn't see it from the road, right?
You can't, but the driveway is still there.
Okay.
And I've since been there, and like that is creepy.
And they tore the original house down, right? Didn't they tear the house down?
The guy that owns it now is Jeff Franklin, the creator of Full House.
Yes. Oh, wow.
It's just this fucking Arabian monstrosity.
They put a new house up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it does feel weird up there.
So you visited multiple times?
Yeah. Danny came, we went 3 years ago, I think.
Was that the house that you freaked out at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why did he freak out?
I don't know. We went up there to the shoot. Everything was like going as good as it could possibly go. And he was like, all right, we can't leave the car parked there. We got to.
I could tell
you were unnerved.
Yeah, I didn't like it because I had parked the car at the bottom of Cielo Drive, which was Sharon Tate's street. And it just feels like you're being watched the entire time. And I was paranoid that as we were walking around, even though we were probably less than 100 yards from the car, and I was paranoid that they were going to have a tow truck come and take the car.
Right.
That did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I loved it.
Isn't that a great movie?
Great movie.
He went back to recreate the time period.
Yeah, it was
and
a
stuff.
Great movie.
And I liked how he changed the ending.
Yeah, that was very cool.
That was great. Awesome.
Do you think places like that have a special significance? Or do you think it's like fat girl?
I think it's
wishful
it's,
thinking.
Yeah, it's in your mind. They don't like if you went to see something.
No, I think there's a thing to like you know. There's some sort of like temporal shift that occurs when someone notable gets, or someone hot enough. Anytime a beautiful woman dies.
Murder side of a hot broad.
Yeah. Fairies and butterflies start to gather around like a purple,
rocking
like, pulsating
hand
orb.
Where Nicole Brown got her head cut off. That's awesome.
Yeah, this is side quest stuff, actually.
Yeah.
This is for charging up your sword.
We went there, too. We went to Nicole Brown's house. What? And most of it still looks the same. They just, out front, they constructed a
they
wall.
They just got her the headless lady.
Yeah. Yeah, they put her outside to keep the birds away. But they constructed a wall to keep the looky-loos from looking guy into the walkway where they were found. But out back still looks the same, and it's an interesting place.
When you're talking about the world of death, I went to Gettysburg with my friend, the Civil War reenactor milkman. And you know the zebra gum with the horse with the fruit-shaped gum?
Yeah.
Well, it's in a paper wrapper, not metal. But we're driving through, and he's a Civil War reenactor. He's like, oh, the deaths here, 600,000 guys died here in 3 days, right? So he's talking, I pop a piece of that fruit-shaped gum in my mouth, and it was paper, and I flicked it out the window. That's desecration, holy land. And he stopped the car, and he got out of the car, and he dug around until he found it. But I go, it's biodegradable. It's not like I throw a Christmas ornaments out. The Civil War ghosts are like, oh, what's that?
What the hell?
Fruit-shaped gum zebra. Weirdo.
Where was, was it Custer's last stand? Where was the one where the Indians killed the guys on the hill? You know that one?
Isn't that it?
What's the place? Little Bighorn or something?
Yeah, Little Bighorn.
I'm not sure.
I went there.
Where is that?
I don't know. I was driving a lot at the time. I was on a cross-country road trip, but we stopped there. And
yeah, I forget what part of the country that.
That felt spooky. Imagining being surrounded on all sides by filthy savages with guns. I think they had guns at this point.
General Custer's the one who had the famous quote: "The only good Indian is a dead Indian."
Yeah. What the heck?
His men got wiped out by the Indians.
All those bad Indians got him.
You're talking to the guy that does the best Indian impression you've ever heard.
Not native though. Ooh, I could probably, but there's no one really getting nasty on Native American impressions, you know?
What do you think would happen if a Native American and a Indian cross paths?
Ooh. Damn. You'd probably fucking scalp the Indian guy's pubes.
Well, one hates litter and one loves to litter.
Whoa, man.
Whoa. Oh, boy.
You know, it's funny. That was a famous commercial on TV. Someone throws a bunch of shit out of a car window, and there's an Indian standing there.
That's what he's talking
about. But that Indian was a Italian or Jewish.
Yeah, he wasn't even Indian, right? Yeah.
Iron Eyes Cody, was that?
Iron Eyes Cody was his name, that's right.
One of the first jokes I ever wrote, and it pissed me off, no one got it. I went, my girl I know, she's Native American, and she went to the amateur night at the strip joint, but she couldn't get higher because every time I start dancing, it started raining inside the club. I go, Indian rain dance, come on.
If they ever start making spiked popsicles, that could be on the stick.
Indian rain dance. Rain dance. Man.
Wow.
That was a... You know, it's funny, as you get older, watch. You probably have friends this way. You know, you're probably 30s or 40s. They discover it. They have nothing going on. Like, we do comedy or podcasts or whatever. Guys who find they're Italian, next thing they join Sons of Italy or Irish groups or AOH and stuff. But
and that's the first sign you have nothing going on.
Yeah, I need something to focus my life on. But when people take a dead DNA test, they find they're 1/16th Cherokee Indian, and they start my Indian name.
Yeah, finally, headdresses.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything weird in you?
No, that's fine. But if you took one out, you always Irish, German, English, and
I would never want to take a DNA because God knows what you might find out. You know,
dude, Tim's got a little bit of African in him.
2% African. But did I tell you the most recent one that I found out? There's a mystery in my family. So all of my great grandparents, which I think is that's four sets, right? Four sets of great grandparents, right? Three of those sets of great grandparents came here from Ireland in the 1930s. We know everything about them. I wouldn't call them like star citizens. These were kind of dregs, and you know, I am what I am. The fourth mystery set of great grandparents. The only thing we know about them was their last name was Holland, and they came here from Germany in the 1930s.
Uh-oh.
And that's as far as the information we have goes.
So maybe they were escaping, because that's just when shit was hitting the fan in Germany in the 1930s.
Yeah, maybe they were just escaping. Maybe that's what it was.
But if you're...
maybe! And I
look like us. When you get the 23andMe, or it always says you're from a certain part of Europe, and it's always like you're 6% Irish, Scottish.
This is without using 23andMe. This is what we know.
Well, the wardens start till 39 when they
right. So I'm thinking these guys saw that shit cooking up, and they got out of Dodge. They said, exactly. "Miss me." They said, "Miss me with that Nazi shit, dude."
We don't need
not really this. Down with
we
that
get enough
stuff.
Trouble. Yeah.
They probably also were just like, yeah, we get it. The Jews do kind of like do a lot of annoying stuff, but like that National Socialist stuff, that's not it. That's seriously not it, guys. Let's go make retarded people in Juniata. Yeah, so I hope that's what that is. I asked my dad if anybody has like tried to figure it out. He's like, no. Like,
yeah, it's a long time ago. Shout out, meet your dinner.
I guess. So.
Don't drag up old problems.
Yeah, that was the conversation. It was like a month ago. That was the conversation.
Exactly. How do you want to dig that up for? Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
We don't need those.
What would you prefer? Germans who got out as the Nazis started cooking, or Jewish? If you had suddenly found out this was in your lineage, because I'm split.
Would you
rather find out that you were 1/16th Jewish or 1/16th almost Nazi? Sorry, National Socialist. They never called themselves Nazi. You know?
Oh man.
Well, that's an interesting dilemma.
I don't know if I like this.
You guys can laugh it off. I'm living in it.
But I've heard people say I'm a German Jew. I'm like, I never, that just always, in my mind, I think it's
I go, shut up, man. Pick a side.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
That makes you think there's an angel and devil fighting on your shoulder. Yeah. Half German, half Jewish.
It's two devils.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm fucking around. Sorry. Waiting for Harvard to approve my application.
What do you think is the most exciting thing to realize on a 23andMe?
Most exciting.
Like, what's the best one that you could be notified of?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, I don't know. Like I said, maybe find you're Indian. For some reason that's...
Well, people always try to make that they're related to somebody famous. Like, I was descended from Lincoln. I was descended from Einstein. Who cares? You're still a jackass.
Yeah. That
doesn't change you.
Plus, every historical figure has, like, you know, dirt on them now. So it's like, it doesn't matter who you're related to.
Exactly.
Like,
it's like, yeah, he invented cotton candy, but he raped slaves.
Yeah, exactly. that little factoids like that, I'm related to freaking Reuben Kincaid. But they... But when people say that stuff, like, it doesn't mean how you go, and then life goes on. Like, see this knife here? This was Elvis's. Oh, really?
Yeah, there's power to it. Yeah. It becomes a talisman. Yeah.
But, like, I hear people say, they brag about stuff like that. Oh, like, when you see someone, like, the Brady Bunch house was for sale out in California for, like, $2.9 million or something. It's a split-level house.
Still looks the same thing.
Yeah, but it's not like the magic of the Brady Bunch. Right, you're gonna have assholes banging during the middle of the night. You're with Greg, and goes right. What's is it really that mean anything to you? Like when people,
I would maybe. I don't know if it was specifically because of the movie, but I've always wanted to live in the apartment from Big Daddy.
That was the apartment.
The apartment from Big Two was fucking killer.
Yeah, that was killer too. But Big Daddy was the ultimate. That's the dude's dream home.
I would love that shit.
It was a shithole.
out of real places that you know, if you had the means to buy any space that you know from TV and movies, what would you buy?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I had to think about that.
Whoa.
I think I would buy Sharon Tate's property.
Jeez.
I thought you were talking like fictional houses or something.
I guess either way. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
I guess, and not because of like any of the significance, but I do understand that Epstein's residence in New York was very nice. And I'm just saying, as someone who appreciates, you know, condos and...
On a creepy note, it used to be a school.
That's right, it did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would like.
I don't know. It's something like in the mountains somewhere. I don't know. I hate New York City. I don't care if I ever go back there ever again. you might, I got a show there. That's neat. Go there. But like the traffic, the driving, the new toll on.
Tim and I got stuck in New York City traffic one day. We didn't move like three blocks over the course of like 2.5 hours. Oh. And then at one point, Pete Davidson walked past.
Wow.
Classic New York. Eddie's done shows with him before.
Yeah, when he was first starting out, when he was a high school senior. Mm. I'm doing shows with Bob Levy, and Levy says, "Oh, I'm bringing this high school kid. He's going to MC." And I think, "High school kid? What are you bringing a high school kid for?" Mm-hmm. So we're like three or four shows, and he MC does fine. Nice kid. I forgot about him. Like, you know, a few years later, I turn Saturday Night Live on. There's the kid.
Oh, man. And if you would have just shown him some kindness, you could borrow money.
I think this is, he may have asked me to do his podcast, and I think I might have blown him off. Although I could have made a friend. Who would think he's going to be this big of a star?
Go not. We'll get his address. We have enough.
Band.
There are fewer degrees of separation than you think. We could get Pete Davidson's address. What if you just hid like outside in his bushes one day, and he came out to get the mail, and you just said, "I remember me from Bob Levy."
You know,
nope. He accidentally steps on him after he's going to scrape that off of his shoe.
You know what makes me laugh? Levy's great. He's done your podcast before.
His big car kissed me in the head in the
But Levy still has his number because they're friends. They used to, you know, but Levy would go, you know, he spent all day texting skits and stuff to and Pete never gets back to me. I think what do you text him like? The Pope goes to Mars and it's full of fags.
I heard that Pete was on one of the radio shows. Said Bob keeps trying to get you. Got to get me a job as a writer on Saturday Night Live, and I'm trying to tell Bob, how can I do that? How can I get you?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's sketchy. Like, the stripper takes a shit.
It'd be funny. There's a twat involved.
Levy's podcast is actually, he does like six podcasts a week.
It seems like he's doing more podcasts than stand up now.
They do one called Uncle Rico. It just makes fun of Stuttering John's podcast.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't think that would get boring. Just talking about Stuttering John. That sounds like you're tuning into that.
Yeah, that's dark, man.
But Stuttering John does a podcast from his garage at his house in California. He has a green screen, so it looks like something big, but he's drinking beer the whole time, going, and so they just Levy and then break it down. It's Shuley from the Stern Show.
Stern Show, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember when he was on the Stern Show. Yeah. And he was fantastic. They would write the questions, and it was unbelievable.
You ever fart in your hand and cup it to your face?
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous. He had the balls to ask these people these questions. I mean, him doing a podcast is something else. He ain't got Stern and the guys writing for him anymore.
when he asked Ringo Starr, and he goes, can I ask you a question? He goes, what? Sure, whatever you want. He goes, what'd you do with all the money? And he goes, what money? He goes, the money your mom gave you for singing lessons. And Ringo goes, I bought myself some fish and chips. Like, he rolled with it. Then Richard Gere brought the Dalai Lama out.
Oh, that was great.
And he goes, when people meet you, do they say, hello, Dolly?
And even Richard Gere started howling. That's when they say, hello, Dolly.
He might be one of those people that only has a following of people who hate him and want to see his demise now.
Yes. Oh, yeah. But the best was when he was interviewing Fred Gwynne, who played Herman Munster. Oh, and he kept calling him Herman. And Fred Gwynne was getting pissed off. John, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. John, he was
selling paintings. And he goes, when you autograph your picture, do you write Fred Gwynne or Herman Munster?
Why does everyone hate him now?
Who knows? Who knows?
I think that the all thing got set in motion was when he quit the Stern show to work for Jay Leno. And Leno had him under like a $500,000 a year contract. Well, he was saying that on Stern he was making $20,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But Stern was saying, I don't pay you the studio. The
yeah, well, Stern even said there's no way we could have matched that money. Stern even admitted
this is the
that.
Dan Schneider defense.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah, when those two ladies from the first episode bitched, he was like, I don't pay you guys. The studio does.
Exactly. And then he had, move. Stern thought he would make money from personal appearances, which he probably did all right. But he
wouldn't let them, though. They couldn't use the Stern show name.
Yeah, that's right. They were never allowed to use the Stern show name.
But, you know, I there's a guy.
Plus, he got caught stealing a Sibian.
Dude, that was the best when you were listening to a lady about to get on the Sibian.
Oh, that
like,
was.
How many times were you late for work, man, just waiting for a lady to ride that phone?
And then with that creepy guy, what was that guy's name? Get the poison out. Get the poison. The guy would, I forget the guy's name. He was like the inventor of the Sibian. They would bring him in. He would tell the girls.
What was his name?
Get the poison.
He died within the past couple of years. What was his name?
I forget his name.
God's got him, man.
But
so we don't know why everybody obsessively hates Stuttering John.
When he quit the Stern show, I think that set the wheels in motion, and he did it like unceremoniously. And
well, who knows? Personally, maybe he's a prick. Who knows? I mean, you know, if you know him off the air, maybe you don't like him. I don't know.
I think a big part of it is he also went hard lib.
Really
so
hard.
Was right? Really alienating.
Yeah. Stern went hard lib, so you know.
And everybody hates him too.
He did a podcast with Jackie the Joke Man and Billy West.
He was the fucking best.
Oh, who? Billy
West. No, I love Jackie the Joke Man, but man. Billy West was the best impressionist I've ever heard. His Marge shot was unparalleled.
I know we can't say it here, but that was hilarious.
Unbelievable.
Let's not do Marge shot, please.
How funny Billy West was. It was ridiculous.
Dude, and the OJ one where they're reenacting Al Michaels' play-by-play.
Oh, that was totally farcical.
He was doing Al Michaels' voice. He had it down exactly.
It was indicative of a popular morning show host.
I used to lay down and cry with Billy West.
That was so
funny. Unbelievable how funny he was.
When he did he could impersonate Jay Leno, sound just like him. He did the Jackie puppet.
Oh, Johnny Carson.
Larry from the Three Stooges. I never heard me do that. It eventually became Ren Stimpy.
Mm-hmm. He did the Frank Sinatra Alzheimer album with the Sinatra forgetting all the words. It was the funniest thing. The Frank Sinatra Alzheimer's album.
There's a video of it too. It's on the old Stern Channel 9 show, but he's doing Sinatra with Alzheimer's going to. That's why the lady is a shoe.
That was so funny.
It wasn't Chicago. It was
just ridiculous. It was just all these crazy lyrics. It was so funny.
Billy West is incredible.
Oh, he was.
Is he still alive?
Oh, yeah.
He does horror conventions.
Yeah, I still follow him on Twitter. Yeah, he's still alive. He's real liberal, too. He's been talking politics a lot lately on Twitter.
Oh, man, how lame. You spend your whole life getting like lavish with like attention and like, you know, praise for your capabilities, and then to just like end up in that shit just sucks so bad.
I know
you alienate half your audience, like, you know. And why?
That really fucking blows. That really is such a tragedy to me, man. You can seriously just act like a fucking idiot for your entire life and support like your family and stuff, and then. To just, you know.
Talking about the Stern show, though, the craziest guy I ever worked with a stand-up show was Yucko the Clown.
Yeah, he kind of scared me.
Did you meet him?
But
the night I worked with him, he was so drunk. I don't know how he was standing, never mind getting on stage. And I introduced him. I get off stage, he gets up, he points at me and goes, give a big hand to that beret-wearing faggot that was just up here. Then he starts the most racist, anti-Semitic material. He pulled out this gigantic black dildo and is stroking it going, Obama, Obama, Obama. He was so... Then when he gets done, he's got a plate of chicken wings, and he passes out face... And he's out cold with his face in the chicken wings. He's the craziest guy I've ever worked with.
In Seattle City, New Jersey, which is the resort town for parents, it has a boardwalk two blocks long. Well, there was a comedy club there called Coffee.comedy.
And I think I went there with you.
Yeah, probably did. Well, the DJ who ran the place had Yucko and maybe Artie and a couple of people from the Stern show. Well, Yucko got drunk. He was drinking some kind of whiskey. Well, he walked on a boardwalk. It's all middle-aged white mothers with their kids in strollers. He's walking up saying, I bet you're... pussy smells like curry. And it was horrible, really way crude. Well, the owner of the comedy club told me on Monday morning he was summoned by the elders of Sea Isle.
No dancing.
They said they didn't want him, Yucko, in town anymore. Just like Eddie said, it was freaking offensive.
I walked down the Wildwood Boardwalk with Bob Levy and Beetlejuice one time.
Oh, God. Imagine seeing that.
Beetlejuice was just cursing the people. Out of way, motherfuckers, get out of just cursing people. And people were turning around looking at him when the boy was the craziest thing you've ever seen.
No, I'd give anything.
Just cursing people on the boardwalk.
I'd give anything to go fucking t-shirt shopping with Beetlejuice.
Oh, that's crazy. Boardwalk. That one more thing. It was just it's on like Reels or TikTok. The guy's interviewing Beetlejuice. His handler, that guy.
Sean?
Yeah. I think
the old one.
Yeah.
Was Sean.
One, he died, I think, right? Yeah. But he goes, Beetlejuice, what color is a carrot? Nine.
Well, they would run into trouble because they didn't want him to drink because he would get fucked up and he would get violent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So they would trick him into thinking, like, okay, this is a Jack and Coke. It would just be a fucking Shirley Temple.
Yeah, Levy used to be his handler at him at his house, like a, you know, habit trail and wheel. He can run around a big ball. But Levy goes, and the motherfucker has to wear a diaper.
Oh, they said how many times he would shit himself. They said it was unbelievable.
Oh,
they were talking
about
that interview. Some reason on wrestling, WWE wrestling, they're calling Jeff Jarrett Slap Nuts. Well, I don't know what that means. Is there some nickname he didn't like it? There's a video you can find of Jeff Jarrett walking down the hallway going to wrestle a match, mm-hmm. and Beetlejuice comes out dressed as Superman.
Uh-huh.
He goes, "Hey, Slap Nuts!" And Jeff Jarrett goes, "What'd you say? You Slap Nuts?" He calls out. He goes, "So Jeff Jarrett smashed a guitar over his head." Oh my God!
Man, you guys all knew Bob Levy back in the day, right?
He's a good guy. Funny.
I never knew him. And the first time I met him was at Mike's house. He came to do
with Dabby.
And I was like, I had quietly like built that up in my head because I just like I had known of him forever, and I was like, if he like doesn't like me and turns on me and like brutalizes me, I don't think I'll ever recover from it. And it was such a big deal internally for me that he liked me and we had a good time.
I'll tell you, he's actually a really good guy. He's done a lot for comedians.
Yeah. But he could be a ball. When I was the radio show, Kid Chris, when we used to go down there, you know, I mean, I was in the studio with a lot of ball breakers, Levy and Lisa Lampanelli and Voss, and they just tear you up. You know, you just had to be ready for it. You just had to get ready. I got used to getting torn up and trying to come back. Mm-hmm. It's just how it was.
But I'll tell you, when you were on that, Eddie was a natural. He's a real comedian on these things. Mm-hmm. When these were like Levy shows, it would be you and him, then 10 other guys who were.
Yeah, but the thing was,
diarrhea salesman.
At that time, when Bob was doing shows around the Kid Chris and stuff, you couldn't actually do stand up at one of his shows because the audience didn't want that. You know, it wasn't Bob's fault. The audience, and I was trying to actually do my stand up, and they just didn't want that. They wanted you to fuck with they wanted you to come out and fuck with the crowd. And so they just didn't want that.
And that's what Levy's big closing bit used to be, with the blue cheese.
Yeah. They just didn't want stand. It was like a toga party or something. It wasn't a comedy show.
Yeah, it is way better than a comedy show. Now that you mention it.
Oh, it was.
I told them last time we were here about when that they did the Northeast Philly Comedy Cabaret that closed up last week.
Yeah.
What did they do with it?
Indians bought it. And they're going to turn it into an Indian beer store and some kind of Indian.
Three-story 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm. That was a great
elevators and everything. Yeah. Slurpees as high as the. But he. But you were on the show at the Northeast Comedy Cabaret with Levy and had the whack pack of that crew.
Yeah, I mean they just didn't want stand up, which is fine. I was the wrong guy to be on the show. It wasn't their fault. They just should get on.
Who was the guy with the breasts? Malika, or Melissa, Melina. A guy who had breasts.
Oh, it was Michaela.
Michaela.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But one of the people there started blowing himself on the table.
Oh, great.
And Mike the bartender.
Standing or laying on his back?
Laying on his back. And Mike the bartender goes, "What's going on over there?" Oh, my God. Right? The guy's like laying on his back with his legs over his head. And I'm like, does he have lessons, like guitar lessons? Right? And he's like, knock it off.
Is there a course I could take?
If the owner sees, we're getting tossed out of here.
Plays in drop D.
But those shows, I went to the one at the Electric Factory. They did some like Levy, Chris. I went to one. I think you're on that again. I went. Colin Quinn was on it.
I was on that. Yeah. Right?
Well, Colin Quinn's a big guy. He comes out and he talks about set list he has. Comes out, someone throws a beer right in his face.
He got hit with a full beer. He was soaking wet. I mean, Colin Quinn is a great comedian, but they just don't want
and
stand-up.
Sober, by the way.
Yeah, they just don't want stand-up. It's ridiculous. I went out and I couldn't do any stand-up. I just started joking around with the crowd. It was what it was.
So Colin Quinn can walk out, hey, Philadelphia, push a whole cup of water right in. He goes, I'm done.
And he killed it for me. I remember him looking back at the rest of us backstage. He goes, bob around because he wanted Bob to come out and get it.
Oh, my God.
It was ridiculous. I mean, it was these wild parties. It was something out of the Roman Empire. It wasn't really stand-up. It was just ridiculous.
There were several people on the show, like some guy named D'Angelo, Joe Matarese, and the crowd just booed. It was brutal until, like, Levy came out. I think Ari Lang was on the show. Just, you know. Oh, my God. That was brutal.
I wonder what those guys are doing now. Probably just not being visited by their grandchildren.
Not the comics.
I mean the dedicated following.
Oh, yeah. God knows what that whole Kid Chris, they used to call it the underbelly, the people who followed the Kid Chris show. God knows what they're doing now. They're probably respectable people now. They have kids and mortgages, and they don't want anybody to know they used to hang out at all these shows.
That story from the Kid Chris show, when what's her name? Karen Goldman was Danny Ozark before.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so funny, man.
She was the best part of the pot is when someone's honest and just not always on.
Danny was great when he used to go on Kid Chris.
But the one where he's telling all these stories about something, then they go, on the line now, right now, we have Ted Danson promoting some new documentary on saving the environment.
Oh, no.
But they never hit off on Danny Ozark's line. He was on.
He was calling in?
Yeah, he was calling in, right? So Ted Danson going, well, we got to protect the environment, you know, see how polar bears are blowing themselves and scissoring and shit, seals and blah, 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 right? Well, Danny Ozark's still on the line, and he says something like, do you still have that, do you still have that whoopee stank on your hang low? Because when he dated Whoopi Goldberg? And Ted Danson's calling in. He goes, who's this? What? Kid Kristen Royce. He didn't hang up on him.
Really? God, I don't know how I missed that.
And he waited till like, it had like 10 minutes into the interview. You have to have Whoopi Goldberg stink on your hang low.
Wow. Can you guys hang around for the Patreon episode?
Yeah.
What do you want to promote before we head over?
Saturday, I'll be at the Villas Fishing Club in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Did the elders of Seattle approve that?
Just check me out. Just check out the Facebook. I put all my shows up on there. Just go to my Facebook.
Hell yeah. Come see me at, I'm headlining Soul Joles in Potsdam on May 18th. You can go to timbutterly.com to get tickets. My show's across the country later in the year are posted and more to come. And follow my YouTube channel. It's just Tim Butterly. And watch my show, Tim Butterly Show, over there where I'm spurging out on all cylinders and taking it to the fucking level. Thank you very much.
This Saturday night at Soul Joles, me and a bunch of my buddies are going to be there with Jake Matera, John Del Calo, Jimmy Gillespie, and fastball pitcher Bob Gutierrez.
Oh, that's a great show.
Dude, he's one of my favorite people, and I'm so glad that he's performing again. And
rare treat.
Dude, I don't think I could put into words how funny he is.
And he stays in character?
The entire time, from the time he gets in the car to the time he goes home.
And if he's asked a question, it refers back to the real person. He'll refer to him as a different person. Like, mm-hmm. I hear about that guy. He's great.
Well, when I message him to do the show, he's like, I'll have Bob get in touch with you. But yeah, come out to Soul Joles this Saturday night. And then in about 8 weeks, I'm going to release my next book. And I can't wait for that. I'm just going to need every retard on deck to buy this book, man. So I'm excited for it, and I can't wait to put it out. And we're about to head over to the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/dadmeatpodcast. And we'll be back with another hour of Ed McGonigal and John Kensel. You guys are the fucking best, man. Woo. I love when you guys come on.
I also have a viewer request. I'm looking for guidance on the best solution for eliminating the optical disc drive on a Sega Dreamcast and Sega Saturn. So, I'm trying not to solder anything, but I am open to, I know there's multiple solutions here, so I'm just looking for an expert to weigh in on this. Thank you.